How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locking in for episode 125 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page also, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, and check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and you can find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. This one is following the Thunder's 120-98 loss to the Clippers. They really just got they got rocked all night. There's no question about that. Steven Adams was out. Chris Paul got hurt in the second quarter. That was obviously a big deal. I sat down with Andrew Hahn of ESPN, Jovan Buha of ESPN. They're both editors at ESPN right now. But back in the day, Andrew and Jovan and I, we all wrote, when I was in college, we all wrote for the same blog covering the Clippers together, clipperblog.com. We're like longtime friends. We got a little goofy in the podcast. We had cameos from Brad Turner, who covers the Clippers for the LA Times, just screaming across the media room in Staples Center, not realizing we were podcasting. And at the very end, Royce Young decided to scream something into my phone. So I apologize if the audio is not perfect, because we recorded it from Staples Center and it was on my phone, and that's just the way it is. Let's get to it in a moment. It's me, it's Andrew Hahn, it's Jovan Buha. Hope you enjoy the recap of this game.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so I'm sitting here in the media room. We're doing a little bit of Clipper Blog Living again. I got Andrew Hahn to my left. I got Jovan Buha to my right. What's going on, guys?
If you're listening to this, then I'm actually to Fred's right, because you'd be listening to us at us instead of from Fred's vantage point, if that makes any sense.
Typical Hahn.
So Hahn. So Hahn. That was poor.
Hi, Fred.
I made a Bojan Bogdanović joke to you tonight. I made a Bojan Bogdanović pun to Andrew tonight, and Andrew looked at me and said, "So I see you're still the same."
So I told Fred before we started recording that I had 5 minutes to give to him, and he opens by wasting 35 seconds on a Bojan Bogdanović. Not even the pun, retelling the pun.
No, because I know I didn't even retell the pun. I didn't even say what the pun was.
Right, recapping the pun.
Because I know this is your element. This is your thing.
What's
the pun?
Well, let's talk about the game. I'm going to leave the pun up in the air. I'm going to see how many people really care about it, and they can tweet at me if they really care about the pun.
It started off with two Bogdanovichs walking to a bar. But anyways, okay, the game.
Which Bogdanović is which?
The game.
Thunder lost 120-98 tonight. Clippers walked all over him without Steven Adams, 62 points in the paint. That was kind of the biggest thing for them. Thunder started off just kind of trying to switch defensively. Didn't work. Chris Paul kind of punished Jeremy Grant on a few plays on pick and rolls. What did you see? Let's go with Jovan. What did you see with the biggest issue with the Thunder defense?
I thought the biggest thing was DeAndre, and just without Steven Adams in there, he kind of did whatever he wanted. I know they started Jeremy Grant, which we talked about.
You called that.
Yeah. I thought it made sense, but, I mean, they still gave up a lot on the boards. What DeAndre had 19 and 15, 7 for 8 from the field, so basically everything was you know, typical DeAndre layups and dunks, putbacks. I just thought he kind of did whatever he wanted. You know, like Clippers, what, 62 points in the paint. So I just thought without Steven Adams in there, the Thunder had really no one to protect the rim. And I think that's kind of probably one of their biggest issues moving forward is if, you know, he's injured or gets in foul trouble, they don't really have anyone to protect the paint. And that's, it's big.
I wasn't fully convinced it was just DeAndre. I mean, DeAndre was really, really good. I thought DeAndre was better defensively tonight than he was offensively. He was so good defensively.
I think he had, 9 points, 8 rebounds in the first quarter. He played 11 minutes in the first quarter, to, I guess, reiterate Yovan's point. But the thing that struck out to me, which as I look at the box score very quickly right now, and I can't see it quickly, so I'm just going to, whatever, is that the last time that the Thunder and the Clippers played, I believe it was, 33-0 fast break points?
Yeah.
It was 13-13.
13-13 this time. It's a huge difference just in terms of the Clippers' defense being more attentive to try and slow down Westbrook and the transition game that they're so accustomed to playing, because that's how Russ gets a lot of his easy points. That's how he gets up into the high 20s, 30, 40-point games, by just racking up those transition baskets, the and-one fouls, things of that nature. And Doc had joked, semi-joked, in the last game that they were going to build a wall to try and stop Westbrook to do that, and I guess it kind of worked.
Yeah, it's not with Russ. Like, something that I've written about a bunch is that it's not just about the fast break points with him. It's about the Thunder offense in the half court. When teams match up with them, their half court offense is comfortably subpar. Even when Westbrook is going well and playing well, like, they just don't have the shooting, they don't have the spacing to where their half court offense is that good. But if they can just get down the court quickly and you know, whoever they're playing just plays a pick up whichever man is closest situation, they're pretty good when they can take care of mismatches like Adams or Cantor or Westbrook or even Oladipo at times. Like, those are guys who can take advantage of mismatches. There's a big on Westbrook, or there's a small on Adams or Cantor. Even if there's, like, a small on Sabonis, like, he's capable enough in the post to where, like, those guys can exploit. And that's when it becomes not the best half-court offense in the league, but a respectable half-court offense. And the Thunder didn't really get those mismatches tonight either.
That's creating mismatches. I'll say this, because the Clippers had a sliding defense for some time, even though it's kind of plateaued or, I guess, rebounded a little bit in the past few games. The Clippers are generally very good at not allowing cross matches to happen. And I don't recall off the top of my head that being an issue the last time the Clippers and Thunder played each other. But regardless, the Thunder ran rampant all over the Clippers. And I don't know. To me, that seems like less of the issue, the Thunder being able to quickly get out in transition to create that. I guess what I'm saying, Fred, is that this article that you claim to have written about the Thunder having a decent half-court offense because they're able to create...
No, not a decent half-court offense because they're able to create half-court mismatches. The way that they become a decent half-court offense is the possessions in which they are able to create mismatches.
How is that different than saying the Thunder are a decent half-court offense when they get...
No, you said because. Brad's jumping in. Hey, Brad.
You on a podcast?
I'm sorry?
You want to come in here for 30 seconds and give your analysis on the game?
Give your take?
Straight to the point.
Yeah. That's LA Times Hall of Famer, Brad Turner.
Hall of Famer?
Yeah, sure.
Does the LA Times have a Hall of Fame?
Does now.
Well, I mean, we're gonna have to see what the fan vote is.
Let's talk about Ray Felton.
Ray Felton. Oh, here's one for you. This has been a point of discussion lately in Los Angeles. Based on this season's production alone, has Ray Felton been the best backup point guard in the league?
Jovan?
I'd have to go team by team to look at it, but off the top of my head, I'd say he's
certainly one of the
he's
best.
Up there, top five.
He's been good this
three.
Year,
right?
He's been good this year.
Defensively, I think he's been very attentive. He's on the ball, he's been harassing people. Off the ball, he's been trying to stay his lane, helping a lot in rotations. I think he's done a very good job protecting the ball, when he's been in there, and Chris has obviously missed 7 games this season, potentially he's going to miss more.
He's a souped-up Pablo Prigioni. but seriously, that's like last season when the Clippers second unit was kind of struggling, they put in Pablo because... All right, and Andrew leaves on that.
Andrew's walking away.
No, but I think that's a big thing for the second unit is that, you know, Jamal and Austin aren't traditional point guards. They're not really lead ball handlers. And I think Ray kind of balances things out, makes sure, you know, Mo's getting his shots. Brandon plays really good defense. And,
Well, that was the problem with last year's. Last year's second unit was a disaster because everyone was a ball pounder.
Yeah, and I think...
It was those guys, and it was Lance, and it was Josh Smith at the start of the year, and, like, that was a disaster because of the fit with those guys.
And
Felton's been good.
And I think you saw tonight, Chris went out, you know, right before halftime, and I was kind of worried heading into the half, like, are the Clippers going to maintain this lead? Are the Thunder going to make a run in the third quarter? And I think Ray did a good job of kind of running the offense and making sure Westbrook didn't go too wild.
So Ray Felton didn't miss a shot, right? 7 for 7 from the field. The Cantor-Laverne lineup tends to get wrecked defensively. It did not do a good job tonight. They were getting to the rim whenever they wanted to, and Ray Felton was either getting a mismatch on Laverne because they had tough to switch on a ball screen or something, and he'd get Laverne, and he'd go straight to the hoop. Or he would blow by whoever the heck was guarding him, and the big would be too slow to come over and get to the rim. And that seemed like it happened like on all 7 of his shots.
Yeah. No, I think the Thunders really have no rim protection without Steven Adams. I mean, I guess you could say Jeremy Grant, but he's not really a traditional...
He's more of a shot blocker than he is a rim protector.
Yeah, and... I think, like we saw, you know, DeAndre kind of had his way with offensive rebounds and stuff. Andrew's coming back.
I'm leaving now. Is there any final questions for me?
Should we have final questions for you?
I don't know. It's your podcast.
Do you think Ray Felton is the best backup point guard in the league? Or let me ask you a better question.
It doesn't have to be about the question I asked.
This is an outside. I want an outside perspective.
On the Thunder?
If you think who would be the best first round matchup, like who do the Thunder match up best with of the top 4 teams right now?
The top 4 teams right now are the top 4 teams that we expect.
Who do you expect you expect Utah to get into the top 4?
If Utah can kind of continue to win without Rodney Hood and he's not out for too long, then I would pick them to be in the top 4
over the Clippers.
No, actually, I think Houston would slide a little bit.
You think Houston's going to slide that much?
Not that much. It's like 3 games. It's like 4 games. 3 or 4 games in half a season.
So 5 seed wins like 56 or something.
Maybe, yeah.
That's possible.
I think there'd be a big gap between the 5 and the 6 seed.
And the Clippers and Rockets have 3 games or 2?
I believe they have two
for sure.
I believe they have 3?
So, you know, Clippers go 2-1, 3-0, head-to-head. They could take the 3 seed back.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay, so top 4 being Warriors, Spurs.
Let's say Clippers and Rockets for now.
For now, Clippers and Rockets. Which of those 4 would the Thunder best match up against?
Yes.
I would guess they would best match up against the Rockets, weirdly. Because
I agree.
I don't really have a good answer for that.
Okay. No, I agree with you.
I mean, but there's not...
Well, I think they have the perimeter size and length to kind of bother James Harden and
Robertson. Kind of Robertson's the best Harden defender in the league.
I just bother their shooters, and I think Houston's just not good enough defensively. They're bad enough defensively where I think the Thunder can be effective offensively against them. Whereas you're going up against Clippers, Warriors, or Spurs, you're basically going up against 3 top 10 defenses.
I think also the Thunder, one thing with the Thunder is, so Houston, remember when Houston lost that Portland series?
Yes.
Like, what was it, 2014?
think so.
Yeah, the one on the Lillard three.
Right.
Yeah.
And Aldridge went off for, like, the first half of that series.
Yeah.
And part of that is because Houston will just give you mid-range shots.
Yeah.
If Russell Westbrook gets hot from mid-range in that series, it could have a similar effect.
Yeah.
Because their defense, different personnel, and slightly different principles is still constructed relatively the same in terms of the type of shots they like to take away and they like to give up.
Yeah.
And if Russell Westbrook gets hot from mid-range, that's probably their best chance.
This would be a silly thing. It's silly to say this because, obviously, Kawhi Leonard, there's no reason to ever suspect that he would never play or would play below a certain standard because he's one of the most consistent stars in the league. But if Kawhi Leonard was not somehow not covering Westbrook in a series or somehow wasn't playing in a series, then the Spurs, I think, would be the best matchup for the Thunder just because the Spurs have one guy that can singularly lock down Westbrook, and Westbrook, as we've discussed already, is the linchpin of that entire offense. He makes everything go. But if somehow Westbrook was able to get off against the Spurs, I don't like the Spurs defense that much at all outside of Kawhi.
I'm with you. So. I think the Spurs are prone to a second-round upset.
I think the Spurs are prone to a first-round upset, depending on who it is.
Depending on who it is.
Yeah.
We'll see how that is. You can exploit them in pick and roll.
If Utah falls to 7...
Utah's not going to fall to 7.
If Memphis is 7...
Memphis would be interesting.
Memphis would be interesting.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't think Powell can guard his brother.
Yeah, that back line has deteriorated substantially on defense.
But they're still, like, number 2 in defense right now.
I mean, like, their team is good, but
we don't know how they do it.
Yeah. Pop's coach of the year. I mean, Pop is coach of the year. Pop is coach of the year every year, but he's coach of the year. With what he's done, think about it. We're just talking about all negatives with this team, and they're playing 800 basketball.
They're
going to win 60 games.
I think I would give it to Luke, because I have incredibly low expectations for the Lakers.
And they've matched them.
No, they've already... I thought they were going to be, like, far and away the worst team in the league and, like, barely hit double digits. And what are they at, 14 wins, 15 wins?
Something like that.
All right, well...
All right, Andrew's off. We're going to talk for 5 or 10 more minutes as you have on a nice day.
Andrew won't shake my hand.
Yeah. There's serious beef there. There's serious. So you say Rockets also.
Yeah, I think Rockets. I mean, granted, it's all dependent on health. Like, you know, you're just saying if Kawhi's out with the Clippers, obviously. I think if Blake or Chris is out, then I might put the Clippers as the team the Thunder would most want to face. But I do think the biggest thing there is, I mean, they've played a couple times this season. It's been close. I think the Rockets are, I'm not sure where they rank defensively, but I would guess it kind of in that 15 to 20 range. And I think that gives the Thunder's offense the best chance to, like you said, get out of transition, just set up early. And, you know, I think that's important where you're playing the Clippers and or Warriors, Spurs. I just think defensively those teams are going to kind of choke the Thunder offense.
So some quick observations before we go. I just want to make a couple of them right now. Enes Kanter only played, I think, 4 minutes in the second half. Didn't ask Billy about that after the game. Had to do some other stuff and get in some extra questions for my story about all the points they gave up in the paint. So that was just something I thought was an interesting thing that happened. I'm not quite sure why it went that way. It's not like he was in, you know, crazy foul trouble or anything like that. I don't think he had a foul in the whole game, did he? Yeah, I mean, only 4, and you know, Kanter was not playing the greatest defensive game of all time, but with Adams out, I thought that was a surprising trend. Joffrey Laverne got a lot more usage out there. Now, granted, he played a lot in the fourth quarter when it was a blowout, but this was, like, the most that they've actually used Joffrey offensively since I can remember. He took 14 shots tonight. I can't remember the last time he actually took that many and had 13 and 9 in this game. And that he didn't play great, but it's the first time that he's really played that much. The thing that I'm worried about, I would be worried about with this team, if I were a Thunder fan or Billy Donovan, it's just like, there's a lot of overlap in the skill set with the bigs. like Joffrey and Kanter aren't that different in terms of their actual skill set. Now Kanter's a more skilled offensive player, but like when you play those two guys together, you can hurt them on the back line. And with Kanter out, you know, Sabonis is not all that different in terms of the skill sets. Like it's just I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with Adams out. Oh, look who's coming over. Look who's coming over in the media room.
Catch up!
That is a full Royce Young ketchup bum. All right, that's just, I feel like that's how we have to end it.
Yeah.
That's it. We end it with a Royce Young ketchup bum. All right, before we go, if you want to check out Locked On Thunder, you want to subscribe to Locked On Thunder, find it on iTunes, find me on Twitter, at Fred Katz, find Jovan, what's your handle again?
At Jovan Buha, JOVANBUHA.
Find Andrew on Twitter. Andrew's now gone. What is he? Andrew the Han. Why is he the Han?
I don't know. Why? Yeah.
What a clown. I will be back tomorrow. I'm going to do an extended episode. Obviously, tomorrow the Thunder have a game that people in Oklahoma care about to a relatively large degree. They're going to be in Golden State. I obviously was in L.A. for this one. I'm going to be in Golden State for that one, too. Really excited for that. That's going to be fun basketball.
You're going to be in Golden State?
I'm going to be in Golden State, yes. I'm going to be in Golden State, the city of Golden State, California. I will be there. I'm staying in San Francisco. I'm going to shoot around in San Francisco. I'm going to the game in Oakland. It's such a pain how they do it in San Fran and Oakland. It's such a pain. It's, even here, like, they shoot around all the way at UCLA, and then they come here to play, and it's like everything is so far away. Like, Chicago, it's nice, yet practice facilities across the street from the arena. It's very convenient. It's nice.
Yeah. It's a problem with the Golden State.
With the Golden State.
Everything's too spread
out. Yeah, Golden State is such a spread out city.
The spread offense.
It's true. Kevin Durant brought them all the spacing, and now it's all spread out. All right, so that's going to do it for today. I'm back tomorrow. I'm going to podcast with Danny LaRue, who's the host of Locked On Warriors, and we'll do a whole preview, and we'll talk about everything. The players barely talked about the Warriors after the game. There was one question that Royce asked Russell after the game about the Warriors. Russell answered it. Honestly, he didn't like shoo away the question or anything like that, but Russell was a man of few words. I counted them out. I think he had 56 words in the first 9 questions of his post game. So, and 2 of his answers were next question. So he was a man of few words tonight. And I forget exactly what he said to the Warriors question, but it was Royce asked him now that it's not the circus the second time around, if he was, you know, if it felt any different. And Russell basically just said no. And that was it. And we moved on to the next question where his answer was about as expansive. So maybe after the Warriors game, if something good happens for the Thunder, then Russell will be a little bit more loquacious, but I'm not holding my breath for the day that Russell Westbrook starts giving Enes Kanter interviews. Anyway, back with Danny tomorrow. Thanks to Jovan. No thanks to Andrew. Thanks to Royce for the ketchup bomb. And until next time, Locked On Thunder is locking up.